The tunes are 75 and 9, the awesome Wendy's in their prime, the bowl is quick, the batsman fine. Remember? Do you remember? Nope, I can't remember, that was too long ago. Yeah. Holding Marshall, Garner, Lloyd, and Mighty Bib. Mighty Bib. They were going for the hat trick, the greatest team that lived, that lived. They swagger, then they stagger out, they shake their heads, they cry. How on earth did we lose to a team that played Yash Pal at five?
This is ESPN Cricket for Talking World Cup. I'm Srinath Sripath, and we've got a couple of our regulars in the house. We're talking about the lone unbeaten side of the tournament today, as of today, with someone who's watched more India games than most of us in the last 5 odd years, the face of Crick Info, principal presenter, however you want to call him, Ronak Kapoor, first time on the show.
Yeah, I know, face of Crick Info looks better when you can't see the face.
First time on a podcast.
Currently the voice of Crick
Info. Voice of Crick Info. Voice of Crick Info is better than voice of cricket.
So you two are taking revenge on behalf of the rest of Chennai, is it? That I'm here now, I've already made enemies for life.
But you
Chennai.
Haven't predicted anything.
I've predicted a lot of things that have gone absolutely right, but I will not say any of that now.
Until the end of the tournament,
yeah.
Of course. Back on is Gaurav Sundaraman, as you would have heard already, our own analyst and rival Australia fan who's going to give a more neutral outside perspective. Hey, Gaurav.
Hi, good to be back.
Yeah, it feels a little weird actually. One word that everyone's been talking about, India, is clinical and, you know, merciless and whatnot. It doesn't really feel like an Indian team so far. It kind of felt like a throwback to the Aussies of the 2000s maybe.
Man, I mean, it's I think we can say the same thing about Australia also, who've been the second best team. But after every time that they win and pick up points, we're highlighting more on the aspects of their game that seem to be questionable.
Yeah.
And with India also right now, they could be beating teams by 125 runs like they did with West Indies and narrowly scraping through against Afghanistan. But we're still talking about
number four.
How Vijay Shankar and Kedar Jadhav aren't pulling their weight and KL Rahul's getting starts and not making through. So somehow, that feeling isn't there that this team is going to go, is a world-beating team. They are beating the world, but I don't think that sense is coming.
The funny thing is, I think for England, I don't think we all spoke about any weakness. We said they have a full strength, they're the best team, they bat till 11, 10, whatever.
Nothing can stop them.
And they seem to be the one who is likely to...
The weakness of England is that they are England.
Yeah, we won't diss about England because they've thrown the tournament
wide
open. Or
we've had enough episodes doing that.
Yeah, we've had... So everything's been about like how it's coming home and whatever. Hey, it's England's strongest team ever of all time and whatnot. India kind of flown under the radar completely. They played only 5 games so far. The one washed out game doesn't really feel like India at all. Have England taken off all the pressure off a team like India?
Not really. I think India, like Ronak said, they've just been trashing teams except Afghanistan. I think that was a tough wicket. But we all knew that India will win that match. I know Afghanistan gave a good fight, but and their schedule was supposed to be tough in terms of they had the top four teams actually playing. They played the top four teams first, and South Africa was easy. Australia was a good game, which all of us thought will be very close, but India won pretty comfortably. And so much talk about India's batting not doing so well, but in the two really good pitches they had against Pakistan and Australia, they put 350 and 320, I think, against Pakistan. So they're just clinical, and it again boils down to even last World Cup in 2015, they were unbeaten in the league stage and they lost the semi. So I think it just boils down to a couple of games, but this bowling attack, man, I guess is one of the best bowling attacks.
We're going to get to that, but I just think in time to come, this Australia game, the one that India had, the second one again at the Oval, it could be one of the defining games of the World Cup in terms of making this team feel a lot better about themselves. We'll hold on to that, but they seem a great team. They were a great team even in 2015, like Gaurav said, until they met perhaps the only team that would have beaten them at home. Had they had that Australia-New Zealand game in Auckland gone differently, had New Zealand finished second and not first, then India would have played them. And I think India would have beaten New Zealand in a semi-final there. But India-Australia in Sydney, I just felt that, you know, little things like that can sometimes translate into whether the World Cup goes your way or not. In time to come, we'll find out whether just getting that second game against Australia and winning in that fashion just set them up then for the rest of the
season. Yeah, it also feels different because India have had a terrific recent record in England in tournament cricket.
Yeah.
Champions Trophy 2013-17 made the final again now in England. It kind of feels like this whole English conditions thing doesn't really apply because they've got a fast bowling attack that can do the job most of those
times. I mean, that's the thing, right? The last time we were pleasantly surprised that India's bowling is done as well as it has. No one expected Mohit Sharma and Umesh Yadav to carry the bowling. This time, we're almost inviting the rest of the world and saying, try and beat India's bowling attack.
Yeah, I actually wanted to start off with Kohli and the whole, you know, it feels like a very different Kohli. In the captain's press conference, everybody else was beating around the bush. They didn't have great answers. Kohli, on the other hand, was articulate. He was predicting 260, 270. It was so matter of fact. There was no arrogance with him. And suddenly now every press presentation, I mean, it feels like he's saying like, okay, we meant to do this. There's no surprise about why this is happening. It feels like, you know, the Kohli of 2019 World Cup himself is ages away from what he was before.
I don't know how much of this was mind games and how much of this was actually India being in a real position of security in world cricket right now. They know that they are one of the teams to beat. And I'm just thinking at that point when everyone was focusing on England, whether that was just the perfect sort of route for India to enter the World Cup. If I think that this World Cup would be in India in 2019, I think it would have been a completely different narrative. I don't think people would have given England as much, you know, limelight and whatnot. And how Kohli would have then reacted.
India might have played the first game also.
India would have played the first game. They would have obviously been looked at as favourites. Yeah. And, you know, they could have, that could have played into a completely different team. Maybe Vijay Shankar would not have been in this team. All those sorts of things. Mm. But the fact that India came into this tournament with ample rest, and I say that in spite of the IPL, that they actually were well rested. Yeah, they were very well rested. And then such a position of security about their own game right now. You know, everyone else is sort of just looking at them. Australia coming into this tournament with so much baggage. England are coming into it with pressure of being the hosts. And you can't really say that there is another intimidating, outstanding team. New Zealand are efficient, but they're not intimidating, outstanding. So India know where they are. They're the bosses of world cricket right now. So Kohli could have said what he had to. I think he was taking a jibe as much as he was glorifying England's batting when they said they're obsessed with getting 500, because he's smart enough to know you're not going to win a World Cup getting 450 or 420, because that's just not going to happen. And I think that was a very smart, calculated thing to do, because as the tournament's gone on, it's just proven to be prophetic.
Is there also something to do with the pitches? Because this whole thing about pitches getting slower as the tournament goes on, and nobody else has two wrist spinners. India are like uniquely positioned in that regard.
Yeah. So the only difference is the way the schedule is done. You don't play in the same venue also. If you see, they've finished certain venues in the first half, and now, in fact, as we speak, Durham is hosting its first game. So, Leeds has just hosted one game. So, the second half of, the World Cup is obviously in a different venue. So, I'm not sure if it's, usually when you play in the same pitch, there is a chance of that happening. But I guess it's also the weather. A lot of people, I remember before the World Cup, a lot of experts saying this World Cup will be decided by what kind of weather we get. Last year was a very dry summer. This year, apparently, it's a pretty wet June they've had. So I think, leaving all that aside, I think we've had some quality cricket, good pitches, where teams have had chances at different times. Whether you bat first, bowl first, that though batting first, it's favored teams batting first, but it's not like the teams chasing don't have a chance. If you had that first 10, 12 overs, you needed to survive. Some teams have survived, some teams have not. We saw with Pakistan, New Zealand. New Zealand chose to bat, but they couldn't survive that initial first 10 overs. Whereas Australia, England, Australia managed to survive. So little things like that, and good balance between bat and ball. So I like this World Cup. And just to add to Ronak's point about England, I think leading to the tournament, we had that 5-match series against Pakistan, which was crazy. It was 350 and Pakistan hitting 330 chasing is something super rare. I think that was their highest three. They scored 4 300s in a row. So all that, you know, it just, I think, confused
obscures
a lot of people.
The whole narrative.
I'm sure all of us thought there'll be one game at the 400. It's 396, though England still have the highest score. But barring that game against Afghanistan and maybe Pakistan, I think it's been pretty balanced.
The thing that is holding India in really good stead right now is that they've essentially brought with them an attack that is okay for all conditions. You know, whether they would have got a wet wicket to seam it around, or whether they get a dry one, which both the wrist spinners and even Bumrah and Shami are actually very effective on wickets, which are sort of stopping a little holding. They're just the right sort of bowlers. I can't say the same about Bhuvneshwar Kumar. But what India have got right now is they don't care what sort of pitch they get. And I think it's important to now see what sort of surfaces are going to come into play in the second half of the World Cup. So Edgbaston and Old Trafford are going to host a semi-final. Lords is going to host the final. When we saw that New Zealand-Pakistan game that Gaurav talks of, New Zealand should have been bold and played a second spinner, but they didn't. They wanted to go for their efficient, unchanged winning
formula,
team.
Yeah,
with not having a single change. Those sort of calls you have to be brave enough to take. If you don't take it now, you probably won't take it at the end of the World Cup. India have decided, and they took a brave call at the start of this World Cup, we're going to play both wrist spinners. We're not going to be tempted by the Jadeja option. Even after Bhuvneshwar Kumar got injured, Gaurav pointed out just before that game against, I think it was against Afghanistan, because the New Zealand game was washed out, that those four, Shami, Bumrah, Chahal and Kuldeep, they've not played together. Essentially because India, whenever Bhuvneshwar Kumar has been unavailable, they've always needed someone to bat at 8. So they played Jadeja ahead of Chahal or ahead of Kuldeep. I think they took a call and they took a bold call, which is now holding them in good stead because it's just to change the dynamic of the team. All of a sudden, the guys need, the batsmen need to know they've got to get runs until number 6 and 7. It's not going to happen after that. So if you're taking these calls, you're ready for no matter what pitch the World Cup throws at you. And you can't say that about any other team right now. Even Australia right now aren't sure who their frontline spinner is.
Yeah.
But India know their bowling attack.
We'll get to the bowling bit very soon. But the one thing I think Kohli also been speaking about is in tournament cricket, you get to face them only once. You get to face Kuldeep just once through the course of tournament until the knockouts. Which means that it's still a mystery thing. The unknown quantity thing keeps coming in. There's no bilateral. There's no fifth game where by the time Root worked out both of them, he just won them the game in against India last year. But the one thing is, there's no let up with India. I was just seeing the stats. They are the best bowling attack by any possible parameter. I think power play scores only 37 is the average against India in the first 10 overs. The next best is 4.8. This is a huge difference between any other team and India. But just once you get past it, there's that Marcus Stoinis around the corner, even if it's Australia.
Sure.
You don't have that ball. Even Hardik Pandya seems to be finding it, you know, he's having fun with the ball.
Well, I think, India have 4 gun bowlers. Australia right now have 2 gun bowlers. So Stoinis isn't just the only one they're going after. They're going after Adam Zampa.
Maxwell sometimes.
They're going after Maxwell. They're going after Nathan Coulter-Nile, was actually very ordinary in the games that he played.
Yeah.
They were trying to get... Now Jason Berendorf has come in and given them something else. But you have to use Jason Berendorf smartly as well.
Up front.
With India, you know, all 4 of them are... You know, I'd be very surprised if we have a single day where any of India's... in the top 4, that is Bumrah, Shami, Chahal and Kuldeep, you'll get more than 2 guys going over 7 and over if they bowl their spreads. That means you literally only have Hardik Pandya as a release bowler. And Hardik Pandya has improved. I don't think you can still guarantee 10 overs out of him. But the difference in India and any other bowling attack right now is that India's got 4 gun bowlers, whereas everyone else seems to have just about 2, maybe 3.
In form as well.
In
that
form,
also.
Yeah.
So what this makes me think is that Bumrah is your fulcrum and sometimes suddenly, yesterday I saw the way West Indies played Bumrah. I feel sometimes they give too much respect to
reputation.
The name than they play the ball. I think it's happening with most teams. So, I know Bumrah has that reputation of being the best bowler.
But what do you
he's
think
amazing.
Is the plan? Do they think they can go after the leg spinners?
That's where, so, one day cricket when you strategize, any team you can, the way they strategize is who are the bowlers we can target? Who are the, what are the pockets? Which overs are the overs you can target? So, again, this is extremely different when you're batting first and batting second. I'm very curious to see how India shape up when they bowl first. Because what happens when you bowl first is teams can figure out slightly different strategy. You don't have to attack in the first 10. If you have some wickets, you can go later. And worst case, even if you have 250, if you put the Indian batting under pressure, then you never know what will happen. Now, what's happening is everybody has a target. What we've seen, I think India fielded first, what, once, I think, against
South Africa.
Yeah. Otherwise, they've always batted first. So, I'm waiting to see that aspect of game, how India manages that while bowling first, what happens, whether they run through the top order, like how they did against South Africa early on, getting 2-3 wickets. But yes, exactly like what Donak said, the 2 spinners are the ones you need to target. And if teams start playing the ball rather than the reputation, I think they would be a lot better. Because we saw Kuldeep, some weaknesses in during the IPL. We saw Chahal. Usually Chahal is the one who goes for a lot of runs. He gets wicket, but he does go for 6 runs and over. So teams need to be smarter. And again, Mohammad Shami, yes, he's in great form, but I don't think he's at the level of Bumrah for that matter. Bumrah is the only one whom I would be very wary of, and he's genuinely very difficult to hit. It's not like everybody's cracked it and you can hit. So Bumrah is someone you can survive, but if you get Shami under pressure, if you hit him for a couple of sixes early on or 2-3 boundaries, I think there's a chance there. So that if I was in opposition, these are areas which I will look to crack.
And while Mohammad Shami has been very good beyond this World Cup, let's not forget it's only Afghanistan and the West Indies now that he's bowled to. If he bowls to an England team that take him on, then that makes the equation very interesting. What Jasprit Bumrah does when there are runs being leaked on the other end too, and then the pressure is alleviated. If you don't need runs off Bumrah, then you need a run a ball at the end, maybe a little more. And you can, even Bumrah can go for runs on a day when, you know, the batsmen feel good about attacking the rest of the bowling. So when they come up against England, for all you know, even when they come up against against Bangladesh, who've probably been another team whose top batsmen are in form, we'll know more. But I'm still leaning on the side of India's bowlers. I just think they're too good for any top order right now, but barring Australia.
You probably, I don't know if you'd bring back Bhuvneshwar Kumar when he's fit or not. That's one question, because it seems like Shami's more in the zone at this point of time than Bhuvneshwar.
It's a great problem to
very
have.
Very tough question, but yeah.
They picked Bhuvneshwar in the first few matches because they wanted to capitalize on the swing, and India is usually obsessed with this swing. I've seen that they do that in even test matches. I remember them playing Bhuvneshwar Kumar ahead of the other bowlers in a couple of tests over the last 3-4 years. But it's a very tempting option to have. The other option is, the only reason is, I know a lot of people don't agree that the long tail is bad, yeah, but it's very scary, you know. Yesterday, if Dhoni, for example, had got out stumped, you had Shami in next. So, it's in a current situation, if you need 50 odd runs and you're 6 down or 5 down and you lose a wicket, would that be the day? If it's a semi-final, would people question selection of Bhuvneshwar Kumar? But I'm with Ronak and I'm with most people now. The more I see Shami bowling, you play your 4 best bowlers and so be it. If at all, it's because of you're not going to blame the tail, you're going to blame the top order batsman. But this bowling attack, I think...
What you said was like visible a little bit during the Afghanistan game. Dhoni actually got out and the tail kind of had to see through the remaining 4-5 overs, whatever. So the rare is the day that we talk about India's batting being the problem compared to the bowling. It's not something that we are used to at a World Cup especially.
Yeah.
And anyway, moving on from the bowling side to the batting side, Dhoni question is something that keeps coming up. We will discuss it till the cows come home. But the point is that Gaurav and some others have been on the side where Kohli spoke about Dhoni par score. He's got that in mind. You know, he sends a message from the centre saying we need 260 and he will ensure 8 on 10 days that we'll get 260. Where do we stand on that? Because the stats seem to be giving mixed signals along on those lines.
Okay, who wants to own Dhoni first?
No, see, my point is very simple. I'm not saying Dhoni is right. Dhoni is amazing. I'm not like a big Dhoni fan with a lot of people
don't
who
lie,
think...
Oh.
No, I'm very serious. It's not about... I will definitely criticize his record against spin is terrible. His strike rates in the last 3 years are 55, 60, 65. He's not able to play spin. He plays too many dot balls. But my point is, Dhoni is not going to be dropped. We all know that. Nothing's going to change. So, instead of figuring out what
it's probably
the
good,
fact that Dhoni has to be dropped, how does the team work around it? When Dhoni comes in to bat, either you send him number 4 so that he doesn't play in the death and somebody else, he plays along with Kohli and Kohli kind of accelerates, or make sure the other end is always slightly quicker rather than Dhoni putting pressure on the other end. I think Kohli got out twice. A lot of people are attributing Kohli's dismissal to Dhoni. Very much possible. But then if India know that Dhoni cannot start quickly, Dhoni cannot play spin, they need to figure out a solution to work around this. If they want Dhoni at the end, see, he's going to be great with the tail. I think Dhoni will take strike. Dhoni will play the last 5 overs very well. So either bring Dhoni in the 43rd, 44th, 45th over and you try to bat everybody else, or try to bring him very early. That's the solution I have. Because he's playing in the middle overs, we feel that he's not taking enough singles and all that. Maybe his skill level now has dropped and we need to accept that. The fact that he's not able to rotate strike. So that's my point. I'm not saying that what he's doing is correct, but this is what he's going to do. And he knows that if he loses his wicket at that point in time, this is a problem for the team, but very rarely does he lose his wicket. That's my biggest argument. It is not easy for Dhoni to get out very early in the innings. He doesn't get out at all.
I just think the Dhoni issue is not simple like Dhoni. There's no question of dropping Dhoni. That's beyond it.
Who will say Dheere Dal and
put
an extra cover there for Jason Holt. And he got Jason Holt out. I didn't know that while watching
the
match. Yeah. He kept that field.
No, but look, it shouldn't come as a shock to us now that Dhoni has a huge role to play in terms of just tactics and field placings and, you know, guiding Virat Kohli on the field. So let's leave that out. And whether or not that's a good or bad thing is secondary. The fact is that is the value he brings, and that's going to stay in this World Cup. Now, as far as it would be great for Dhoni to just always have a target and for India to bat second, because then that takes away all this nonsense of how he should play.
Man,
then you
the
know what he's
in
going
Australia
to do.
Yeah,
but then you know what he's going to do. If he gets a 240 sort of chase, which looks very likely with the way pitches are going, I think we can all sit back and enjoy Dhoni finishing it off in the 49th over, or allowing for a Kohli or a Kedar or whoever to finish it with him. But when Dhoni bats first, when India bat first, I think there are two factors here. One, we saw him first come in at 4. And in the last game as the West Indies, they sent Kedar Jadhav at 4. it's now quite apparent that Kohli would prefer someone else at four who can rotate the strike. I have seen myself enough times where in the game against Afghanistan, you know, you had Kohli take a single of the first ball and there were five dot balls. You know how much it annoys Virat Kohli. Vijay Shankar was just getting into that mood where he started, you know, getting it to work around and then sort of he got out. So my point is, it doesn't work for Kohli to play with Dhoni when India are batting first, because Kohli then feels he's got to go harder, and I think that's how he got out against Afghanistan. Nothing sort of, just trying to force the issue against Mohammad Nabi. And I do think that could also be a pattern going forward. That's why they've decided, otherwise the simple solution was, we will get either Rishabh Pant or DK or whoever and make them bat six, and Dhoni will bat four. How hard is that? Hmm. But it's not happened because clearly Kohli believes that he's better off, this is my opinion, that he's better off with someone who can just be busier. Now they've sent Kedar Jadhav ahead of Dhoni, which gives you the indication that they want to keep Dhoni to do exactly what he did in the game against West Indies, assess the situation, and then close the game accordingly. According to me, when India bat first, they have to hope that someone is always batting with Dhoni. It had to be Hardik Pandya's 44 that allowed Dhoni to just do his thing again. If Hardik Pandya also gets out, then you're in serious trouble if it's only MS. And that is something which Dhoni will then have to decide. What approach does he want to take? According to me, he's still got it in him to take certain bowlers on, exactly what he did in the IPL. All we need to see is the intent. What we didn't see against Mujibur Rahman in that game against Afghanistan was just no intent. He didn't want to hit it.
Two mystery spinners.
The 47th and the 48th or 46th over, he's blocked. I mean, he's good enough after he's faced 35 balls to get one and over. I think it's simple things. I actually think India got it wrong against Afghanistan. It wasn't, what, they got 212 or something and they defended it?
230.
But they needed 250, 260 to just be on the safe side. They got very lucky in that game. But there are days where Dhoni's calculations will work. Against the West Indies, 260 with that bowling attack, great. I know days that he's going to get it wrong. My other worry is, looking at how well India's bowling, Dhoni is going to tell himself that less is now required. He's genuinely going to tell himself, forget 250. We need 230, and the way Shami is bowling and Kuldeep is bowling, and wow, you know, the ball wicket's turning a little. If Dhoni saw that ball move from Fabian Allen, he's already told himself, we need 230, and with the way the game went out, India winning by 125 runs, he's going to tell himself, boss, you know, we'd have got 220, would have been fine.
I'll bring out the instruction.
I really won't be surprised if he thinks like that. He actually, that's a very valid point, because with such a weak attack in T20s in IPL, we've seen him do it for 2 years. He knows there are grounds where he has said vocally at the end of the post-match press conference that we got 10 above par. I wanted to get 20 above par. This was a 160 wicket. I got 180. Especially, I don't know if you guys remember a game against Rajasthan where he single-handedly took it from 30. He said we were 20 above par for that wicket. So, the point is exactly what Ronak said. What's Dhoni's plan? Nobody's going to know. But come crunch game, if it's a batting paradise and where you need to score 320, that is when they might fall short by 20. But his justification would very much be, we have Bumrah, Kuldeep Chahar and Chahal.
Bowling
second is going to be hard. So it's going to be a tough call. But would you bat Dhoni at 4 now that Vijay Shankar is not doing well?
Okay, now
this is actually the time when they changed the number 4. If it was a bilateral series, they would probably have gone to somebody else by this point.
And that's a very good question. You know what? Now I'm not going to be as sympathetic towards Vijay Shankar, only because with the situation that India is in and that he's in, you need to now look at a player who's got two opportunities and should have made more of it. That's just my... I mean, it's only two games, but at this situation, you've just got to make it. You had two warm-up games. KL Rahul managed to hit 101. Right? You have to... That's the standard. There aren't too many spots that are up for grabs in this strong Indian team. So when the opportunity comes, you just got to take it. The way he got out against Afghanistan, I think was a little unlucky. It's a 50-50 call. He got out to a part-time leg spinner in Rehmat Shah. The way he got out against the West Indies, again, he was starting to look busy. Three boundaries. Got a good one from Kemar Roach. But you just have to find ways to make the most of these opportunities. Would I replace him right now? I still think Vijay Shankar is good enough to bat six in most teams. And does that mean that Dhoni can bat four? I actually think Hardik Pandya is far more equipped to bat four. But it looks like Hardik Pandya's current game, the shifting of his gears to bat four, preconceived as against impromptu, depending on the situation, might affect him.
It's better off coming at 35 or 36th over or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. But if you tell Hardik Pandya you're going to bat number four, I think that will change his psyche or his ability. I would still want Hardik Pandya to bat four. If you remember a game against the Australia ODI series, when India were in a chase, And Kohli got, I think, the 100, or he just, I don't know if he got the 100, but when Dhoni came out, Kohli just took off immediately. India were going at 5 and over, and Kohli started going at 8.5, 9 and over as soon as Dhoni came in, knowing that this guy's probably going to take 30 balls to get in, so I'm going to make the most of it. So that's sort of, if you're sending Hardik Pandya, you send him with that intent. Let's say India find themselves in a position, they need 300 to chase, and you don't want to have Dhoni chasing 7 and over when he comes in, which will probably become 9 and over by the time he's ready to take off. So then you would send Hardik Pandya as the classic pinch hitter, and say Kohli and Hardik will go together at one end, and then when Dhoni comes in, hopefully the required rate will be around 5.5, 6. So that's the way I'd use Hardik Pandya. Vijay Shankar, does he fit into my ideal 11? I just think this is the time India need to make a call, right? I'd give him one game, perhaps against England. After that, if it doesn't work for him, then you just tell yourself, you've given him a chance, you can replace him, and whoever he's being replaced by is not going to do any worse. Then you give either Rishabh Pant or Dinesh Karthik a go, and you say, fine, you're going to be a player till the end of the world.
As much as we have our statistically backed reasons, these are the kind of games Ambati Raidu builds his average in these last two games.
No.
Vijay Shankar.
No, please don't get me started on the completely misleading argument of Ambati Raidu's
exactly.
average. Yeah,
nine,
whose runs are without context.
Nine
knockouts
in
yes.
wherever. Zimbabwe,
not to mention two series in Zimbabwe. Yeah. Yeah, an Asia Cup which included, you know, runs against inferior teams. So please, yeah,
But Ranak, just to add on to your argument about Vijay Shankar, if you drop Vijay Shankar, aren't you also being unfair to him by not dropping Kedar Jadhav, because he's also not made use of
he's
any
got
58
opportunity. Against Afghanistan. That's the only reason I'm saying that.
Okay.
Other than that, I would have said he should drop him as well.
Okay.
Yeah, neither of them are bowling much.
I think this is a great opportunity. Earlier. Vijay Shankar could have got some runs, and then India could have said, maybe we can keep Shankar, bat him at 6 and drop Kedar and bring someone else in. Right? That could have happened. But unfortunately, Kedar has got, or fortunately for Kedar and unfortunately for Vijay Shankar, Kedar in these few moments still seems to be able to soak in the pressure, manage the situation. I think Dhoni's influence on him is looking more and more apparent now, either with CSK or otherwise. He seems to be the kind, again, who just likes to take his time. But he's got more shots in him, and he, at the end of the day, he's got a 15.
And he rotates
15.
The strike with
He's got a tough 15.
Is this one of, so far, less intimidating middle order of India you've ever seen in a World Cup tournament?
I mean, ever seen, you'll have to go through a lot of Indian middle orders, which...
No, the likes of 2011 was a solid middle order.
Very solid.
Even 2015 was pretty good. So,
Azhar, Kambli, Jadeja seems stronger.
I mean, that's what I'm asking.
If
you go to 1999 and you ask Robin Singh, who bats at what?
Robin Singh, Ajay Jadeja
before him, and Mongia on the other side, that's not necessarily giving you a lot of trouble. But
okay.
It's unfair to compare errors. Yeah, I mean, okay. What I would like to ask is, in this World Cup.
Yeah, that was my question.
In this World Cup, if you look at Vijay Shankar, Dhoni and Kedar Jadhav, and compare that with the 4, 5, 6 of other teams, are they short? Of course they are. I think New Zealand have a better middle order.
England still.
They back Butler at 6 yeah. for some reason. But yeah, that's automatically winning them the middle order battle on paper.
I think they're still better than South Africa though.
Bangladesh bat
easy
deep
win.
As well.
Yeah, Bangladesh bat deep. They've got the two big guns, Shakib and Mushfiqur, batting in.
No, I don't know. I don't know what you guys think. But I think Vijay Shankar probably has one more game in him. Play one more, you know, against England.
Game.
Yeah, the big England game. And if he's looking out of sorts, the problem with him is he looks okay for his 15-20. It's not like he's looking out of touch. And then do you get somebody else in?
But my next choice would be Dinesh Karthik over Rishabh Pant, purely because I'm not sure how the pitches are going to play. The way it looks, most pitches seem to be India's next three games, including the semi-final, looks to be 240 to 270 kind of pitches. Yeah. Again, I might be completely wrong. I'm just saying that Rishabh Pant, do you want to take such a big gamble on the before the World Cup?
To agree with you,
he might try to hit a 6 of the second ball, try to prove a point and get south. You never know. At least I know with Vijay Shankar what I'm going to get. At least 20, good looking 20 is what I'm going to get.
Yeah, with the Hardikin, you probably don't need a punt.
Just looking at Kohli, now that the team's winning, I don't think he'll drop Vijay Shankar. Now I think it's pretty much set, but for injury, I don't think there'll be changes.
Maybe Bhuvneshwar Shami might be one question later on.
Even then, unless Shami has two bad games in a row, I don't think it'll
happen.
Just looking at what is left of the tournament for India, they're probably through to the semis at this point.
Yeah.
They need one point to get through properly.
Yeah.
So there's England, there's Bangladesh and Sri Lanka. Those are the three league fixtures. And then the semi-final is either in Edgbaston or Manchester.
Yeah.
what's probably something that they should do in the remaining parts of the league phase, and where do we see them slip up, if at all? Because that's one question. In the sense, the final is at Lords, and after the knockouts, it becomes a question of on that day, right?
Yeah.
So Lords is obviously very different to anything else they're going to play in. Where do we see India making improvements, if at all? We've spoken about the number four slot, Dhoni, etc., etc. Is anyone going to challenge them? Is Bangladesh going to be challenging them?
I would want to see them chase couple of times. Even if they win the toss, yes, first to qualify. I wouldn't do any experimentation in the match against England. Maybe even not against Bangladesh, but at least Sri Lanka. The fact is, they play England and Bangladesh back-to-back with one-day gap. So that's going to be interesting to see how they kind of shape up, because Bangladesh will have a long gap, almost a week's gap. So that's a game which I'm actually slightly wary of, in terms of Bangladesh could pull off something, and they're also very hungry to win. They have to win. It's a must win for them. So their motivation will be very high if India beat England. If India lose to England, then India is not going to change anything, because you still haven't qualified on paper. You don't want to take that chance.
No.
But I would want to see them chase, and you want to get that 10 for 3 or 20 for 3 match out of your way. I don't know when that's going to come with the Kohli and Rohit and Rahul out. Kohli is always been there.
The only thing is, for me, at least, I don't see Kohli's India experimenting for any reason. He probably want 17 points on the board.
Absolutely.
No, he's not going to.
He's not going to.
Like I said, Kohli's so sort of focused on his team, his strengths, and don't care of the opposition, don't care of the rest of the World Cup, that you're not going to see a change unless there's an injury.
Yeah.
But on what I would like to see India do, it's within those 11 now. If they happen to chase, great, you know. But again, the sort of form that their bowling is in, I want them to chase 280, 270 on a challenging surface and get over the line, you know. And then also there'll be an argument for whether the depth in batting is necessary, whether there will be a game where 8 and 9 would have to get 5 or 6 and over, and they don't get it because 7, 8, 9, 10, Jack just go out quickly. You know, that sort of thing. I think that might confuse India. So I hope it doesn't happen. I hope if they have a 270 chase, that they get it 270 for 3 or 270 for 4. That's what I would like to see. But for that to happen, and that's where I go to my next thing that I really want, I really want to see KL Rahul make the most of his starts. Right? He looks in good touch. He does the hard work of seeing out the new ball, and then typical KL Rahul.
That's where Dhawan makes the 100, usually.
Yeah, I mean, Dhawan, also the other thing, the greatness of Dhawan is now being felt. I always thought Shikhar Dhawan overachieved in terms of just his record, his numbers. You know, you big match player, yes, but what happens sometimes in the middle? But Shikhar Dhawan's greatness was that, yes, he got hundreds. And second, that he actually almost always scored at a runner ball. KL Rahul is getting you 60 balls, 35s, 40s. Rohit Sharma has to suddenly play a slightly different role, right? He's been in great touch, but then he's also capable of going 2-3 low scores without anyone noticing. So what I want to see is KL Rahul getting a big score, which I think will solve a lot of problems. Then in that case, you don't have to worry about Vijay Shankar.
Then Hardik comes at 4.
Then Dhoni knows what he needs to do. There's already 250 on the board. I think Dhoni might get one of the most impressive half centuries of this World Cup if he just smashes it.
Yeah.
But he needs the base for that. So the one thing India really want is KL Rahul getting runs. And I'm also getting just a little worried that Virat Kohli started getting out on 70, you know.
Not used to it.
Yeah, I'm not used to this. Either he gets a good one first up, or he bats 35 overs and scores, you know, 100 for fun. I'm not used to Virat Kohli getting out in innocuous ways once he's got a start. He got out against Afghanistan. He got out so strangely against the West Indies. It's not like he's doing anything wrong. It's just that these things just happen to batsmen then. So I hope that there is a Kohli Daddy 100 for a, you know, in store.
I was reading somewhere that 4 consecutive 50s without 100, first time since 2011.
Yeah, there you go.
This
is
so ridiculous.
There you go. His conversion rate is
sensational. Our expectations are like really crazy.
Yeah, well, that's his fault. Yeah. His conversion rate is sensational. But I actually am trying to say that Kohli, it's like the attention, the concentration just doesn't drop after 50.
Yeah.
Then if it drops, it'll drop when the innings is over, or, you know, when he's on 100. So I'm just finding it odd that this is happening. And because of the dynamic of India's lower order, it's almost now all the more important that Kohli bats large chunk of India's innings.
Maybe he's reserved his best for the last. Who knows?
No, he's gotten out cheaply only once, I think. That's Fegluquayo wicket 18 or something is his lowest score.
Yeah.
Finally, okay, before we wrap up, the one question that I had in mind, it feels little weird because Pakistan have started talking about the 92 thing. England have never stopped talking at all about this tournament. Australia getting hopes. When do we start getting in the Indian social media or among Indian fans, when do Indian fans start thinking about the trophy itself, because as far-fetched as it is, it's a little longer than we think. There are 5 games to do for India to win the trophy. When do Indian fans start getting the feeling that it's coming home, to use the cliche?
Gaurav? See, this, I think they should win. By, if you just go by pure skill, the way they've been playing over the last 3-4 years, and their bowling, and the way, generally the way the team is, from whatever we see, I don't know these press conferences and all, how much real it is, how much to actually take it, but the kind of bowlers we have, kind of people we have, the skill set, I think even with a slightly weak middle order, I think it's India's tournament to lose at this point in time. Having said that, the only team I think which can genuinely beat them is Australia, because of 2 reasons. One is just the whole pressure aspect and mental aspect of it. The fact that
tournament pedigree and
and generally they also have a great support staff, and in spite of having all these weaknesses, they've managed to win. They, in fact, like Ronak said, they're just surviving with about 4 people and they're all performing at the right time. Again, Australia, what do they do in the chase? We don't know. What we saw against India, they lost. But in even that India game, in spite of having such poor striker, they just came short by, what, 20, 30 runs.
So, Alex Carey, if we had got a little
30
less.
Run difference. Yeah, so, maybe the intensity dropped. Yeah. Yeah. Let's be fair. But yes, he's right. Even on us, and if you look at Australia, they're the only team other than India who've actually improved as a tournament's gone on. Mm. Which is what you want to see in a team that, which is the mark of a champion team. New Zealand, you always get the feeling that they had the better part of the schedules, and now this, after that Pakistan game, you just think there are more and more problems that they've been exposed to. Mm-hmm. England have just, their tournament has just fallen
now
apart.
Now it's like a must-win.
Yeah. But Australia are the only team whose tournament, who's looked stronger and stronger, and India played them at the early part of the tournament. Mm-hmm. Now they're getting closer, perhaps Mitchell Starc's bowling better than he did in the game against India, certainly.
They're picking better 11s.
Yeah, picking better 11s. Steve Smith's almost had a quiet phase of the World Cup. And, you know, then they're sort of winning with that. Not that they don't have chinks, of course they do. But I agree entirely with Gaurav. If there is a team to really trouble India, it's Australia. I would want to avoid Australia in
Dan
the semi-finals.
Or whoever else.
And this is where I take you to one of my pre-tournament predictions, which was that which team would India want to avoid? Hmm. Which team will beat India if they get to a semi? I said, other than Australia, India will beat everyone.
Yeah, my pre-tournament favorites were Australia and I... Not yet ready to waver from it. You were differing from that, I think.
No, I think most of us said India, Australia, England, and the fourth team was what was differing from most.
I said Pakistan.
You said Pakistan.
Pakistan.
So wait, before we wrap up, India Pakistan semi final, are you okay? Again, Pakistan win the toss, bat first.
There is.
Pick the better.
Again, Manchester possibility.
There is no doubt in my mind that India will beat any team on their day. The only team I would be worried about is Australia. Pakistan having a good run of it at the moment. I do not think they are anywhere close to India in terms of quality. Mm. And the gulf between them has only gotten broader and wider. I do not see another Champions Trophy sort of... It'll be an upset. It'll be a huge upset if it is to happen.
I mean, though, one thing to not forget is India's bowling attack is doubled.
Oh, yeah. That's exactly right.
The broadcasters have got everything what they want with Sri Lanka beating England, because everybody was before that game was saying that nothing, the last 2 weeks are going to be a waste. Are we going to see another India-Pakistan make this World Cup the best ever? I don't know.
Actually, either of them, Edgbaston or Manchester.
Yeah.
India-Pakistan is a dream fixture.
Look, again, the thing is that Edgbaston has shown that it's got something for the bowlers. Yeah. Manchester's been a little easier, but it has turned. And as you know, as things go on, and we saw the game against the West Indies, Kemar Roach bowled well, Mohammad Shami bowled well. So it was doing something of the surface, which means if the bowlers are going to come into it, then the strongest bowling attack in the tournament, you would think, would win the day for the team. Batting first or second. So I just think India's bowlers will win them this World Cup.
What's your other? Let's just take a final four. What's your final, the semi-final lineup, and who's going
to
win?
There's 3 to pick now.
no, semi-final lineup and the winner.
I'm a little worried about New Zealand as well. We've got Australia and England to come. So I'm making it very hard. But I still think they'll nick one of those. Obviously, India and Australia have already made it through.
No, what's
as I see the final standings,
1 versus 4.
Okay, I'm going for India to finish top.
Okay.
Australia to finish second.
Okay.
New Zealand to finish third, and Pakistan to finish fourth.
I have the same thing, but Bangladesh instead of Pakistan.
And I see England. Yeah. Having a very unceremonious.
India, New Zealand, and Australia, Pakistan. Same.
So you're saying Australia might top the table.
Yeah, that's okay. My
interesting.
You think Australia will top the table?
Yeah. Australia, Pakistan, and India.
So India will lose one. India probably just need to lose one to come second.
Yeah, sure. Okay. But I think the game to lose is the one on Sunday. I think India have the wood over Bangladesh.
Yeah.
They'll beat Bangladesh no matter how much hunger there is for Bangladesh.
Sri Lanka are fading away again.
Sri Lanka. Sri Lanka might be out of it even by the time we get there. But even so. Though, I think if there is, if the only thing is if Pakistan...
lose to Bangladesh.
England might sneak through. You never know. But it's Pakistan. They could lose to Afghanistan for all you know.
On that note, though, that brings us to the end of yet another episode of Talking World Cup. It's been fun chatting with both of you on India. Cheers, guys.
Cheers. Thanks, Srinath.
All right. And thanks to you, listener, for listening to Talking World Cup. Remember, you can subscribe on iTunes. Remember, leave us a rating. It's helped us and more people find the podcast with the World Cup. We've been doing well. And you can, of course, subscribe on Stitcher, Pocket Cast, Audio Boom, anywhere else you get your podcast from. Until next time, then, it's adios from all of us at ESPN Cricket Info. See ya.